Scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. And it reads, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ."
Yeah. 75 years ago or so, if you wanted to dry clothes, you looked for a sunny day and hung them out on the line. But man, over time, wasn't satisfied with that. We had to make it rocket science. Here, the other month, our clothes dryer decided it wasn't going to work anymore. I guess I didn't pay it enough. And it had the bells and whistles. You had to almost be a rocket scientist to operate this thing. You had a button to turn it on, and then you had another button that told you what temperature, and then you had another button that sat there and told you how long you're going to dry this, and then you had another button that said, do you want the wrinkle cycle, free cycle on it, where it would keep tumbling every few minutes. It never works. They still wrinkle. But when it went up, we got something with three buttons on it. A knob you turn to tell you how long you want to dry it, one the temperature and the other to turn it on. Simple. Simple. I didn't even need to look at the instruction book. There are many things that we don't understand. We don't understand God's omniscience. We don't understand His omnipotence. Man truly can't understand eternity. We don't even think about it, do we? Most of the time, we're just about the here and now. For some reason, God decided not to reveal it to us, and I think I understand and know the reason why, because it's not necessary for us to know at this stage of the game. But God did reveal to us His gospel. And it is that gospel that is important. If we sit there and look at it and its simplicity, it kind of makes you sit back and think, is that it? Christ did make it simple. As a matter of fact, His teaching is so simple that it confuses everybody. In Matthew 11 and verse 25, Jesus said, "I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes." Have you, in your life, overthought a problem? You had a problem that had a really simple solution, but you knew it couldn't be that simple. So you had to overthink it. And we look at our military hardware that we have, the aircraft. They over-engineer a lot of things. For the simple reason they want them to work as designed, and when something fails, they want something else to make sure that you get on the ground safely, especially in our aircraft. But we can't do that with God's Word. We can't make things complicated. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 1, in verses 18 through 24, he was telling the same thing that Jesus said. He wrote that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power of God. He said, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God chose the foolish things of the world that He might put to shame them that are wise. Well, that says an awful lot about the educated, doesn't it? It's amazing to me that Christ would choose 12 men who did not have a degree or were not some sort of professional preachers to be able to share the gospel. When you read Mark 16, verses 15 through 20, the message that you read there is very simple to understand. At Pentecost, people understood it. There were those who opposed it. There were some who didn't believe it, but at least they understood it. And I'm convinced that that's the way it should be today. You know, today there are many who accept a variety of authorities to guide them. This is one of the reasons why we have so many divisions today. This is why we can't all come on the same page. But our authority for us in religion comes from God's Word. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 10:23, he said, "The way of man is not in himself. It is not the man that walks to direct his own steps." We can't come up with a plan of salvation on our own. We don't know what it's going to take to please God. That's like somebody going out on a first date and not knowing anybody, not knowing the person they're going out because it's the blind date. How are you going to please that person when you know nothing about them? And if you don't know God, how can you please Him? How can you do the things that you know God is going to want done, the way He wants it done? Here, a couple of years ago, on a Sunday morning, God bless Vicki. She's some things is just amazing. Daisy and Grant were going to help make breakfast. And of course, Vicki had to get ready for church, so it was up to me, and I go out, and they're making pancakes. Daisy made one pancake. She used all the batter to make that one pancake. Now, that's not the way I would have done it. My thing was, how do you flip that sucker? But you know, Vicki came out and made it work. You know, we can't always do the things that we want to do the way we want to do it, especially when it comes to religion. Because sometimes, and most of the time, especially in religion, it will not work. It will not work. We cannot be our own authority. We have to look to God. Paul in Hebrews 1 and verse 2, he says, "Has in the last days spoken to us by His Son." You know, it was a little while before that, Matthew chapter 17, Peter, James, and John were on this mountain with Jesus. It was a very important part of what was to come. And there was a voice that spoke from heaven. It was God's voice, and He said to them, "Guys, do what you want to do." No. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." So that kind of eliminates everybody, doesn't it? It was Christ in John 12, verse 48 that said, "He that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Christ, our spokesman, God's spokesman. He selected His apostles. He gave them the power to preach into their names. No, He gave them the power to preach in His name. He promised them that the Holy Spirit was to do what He was to do for them, that it was to bring to remembrance all the things that they were taught, all the things that were said to them. Luke 12:12, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Boy, I wish that was true today. I wish I could get up here that same day and the Holy Spirit would sit there and say, Dennis, this is what you have to say. Now, there are preachers out there that'll tell you that. God spoke to me today. He told me what to tell you. Well, God did speak to me today, but it was through His Word. Actually, He spoke earlier in the week when I was sitting there preparing for the lesson. But it was His Word opened up that brought the words out and the message that I was hoping to convey this morning. Christ said, the Spirit of truth will guide you in all truth. Because of this guidance, Jesus told the apostles in Luke 10:16, he that hears you hears me, and he that rejects you rejects me, and he that rejects me rejects him that sent me. We're guided by the Holy Spirit. The apostles spoke and wrote the gospel. The letters that we have is what God wanted revealed. Paul in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13, he said, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Now, growing up, I was used to listening to sermons that maybe spoke one or two verses out of the Bible and the rest was filled with opinion. You know, I have a hard time trying to change sometimes the way I say things. And Vicki kind of helps me in those things and kind of brings them out so I can kind of keep these in the back of my mind. To try to eliminate the words I believe or I think. Because it's not what I believe or what I think. Well, it is in a sense. But it is the word that I believe. And that truth, not my own judgment, but God's. That is our authority. What God calls to be written in Scripture. It's not rocket science. It's simple. I'm glad that God didn't make this like some algebraic formula. Or something out of trigonometry or geometry or whatever. Because I'd be lost. I did have straight F's in algebra. Still can't figure out how you get numbers from letters. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus made a promise. He said, I will build my church. And He did. And ever since that time, people have been trying to complicate it. The Jews in Acts 28:22 called Christians a sect. But it wasn't. It was not a denomination, which if you get down to the root meaning, a sect is what it means. Many consider us to be a denomination. Some will say, well, we're non-denominational, and neither one is correct. We are undenominational. There are many out there who claim non-denominational status. But we are undenomination. The word church means the called out. And those who are in Christ have been called out of the darkness. That's what means. And we have come into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. And everyone is invited. Now, I'm sure most of us, or a lot of us, have been invited to other folks' churches. whether they're denominations and things. But God invites us every day. Everyone is invited. Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:17, he said, "Come ye out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord." We are called out of sin. We are cleansed by the blood of Christ. When we are those things, we are the church. That's what the word means. It's not rocket science. The nature of the church is further seen in terms that are used to describe her relationship to Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Colossians 1:18, He is the head of the body, the church. In Ephesians 5, it's identified as the bride of Christ. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church." That's exactly what Paul was getting to. It wasn't the human marriage. It was our marriage to the church. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the kingdom of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. Jesus never built 300 churches. He doesn't have 300 bodies. He's not the king in 300 kingdoms, and he's not married to 300 brides. Or to make it simple and not rocket science, the Lord's church is not a denomination, and he is not the author of denominationalism. John 17, verse 21, he prayed that we would all be one, and he commands it. Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:10 said, "Let there be no divisions among you." In Ephesians 4:4, he says, "There is one body." Now, you're going to find a lot of folks out there that don't like that teaching. They don't like it at all. But anyone who can read it can understand it. It's not rocket science. You know, on several occasions, Barney has brought up the example of a man. He claimed to believe all the Bible, and when Barney had him read a chapter out of Romans, the guy said, "I don't believe that." Rocket science. It's too simple. It cannot work. God made a promise long ago of the way. And as Isaiah 53:35 in verse 8, he said, "And the highway shall there be, and a way, and that shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools shall not err therein." Now we read of that path in the New Testament. Jesus talked about the path. Broad is the way and narrow. God and Jesus blazed us a trail to heaven. They have cut through all the undergrowth and the trees and the barriers in the way and made a path. But along that path are a lot of trails and game trails and wise in the road. And God points us to the path, but we choose what path we really want to take. As a kid, I liked exploring the woods, and I'd get on one trail, and, "Oh, let's go this way," and, "Oh, let's try this way." And Before you know it, you're lost. People like to blaze their own trail. The problem is it doesn't end up where they need to be or where they want to be. The plan to save begins with Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus, it says Christ is the only means of access to the Father. In John 6, verse 68, he has the words of eternal life. And to the unbelieving Jews, in Acts 4, verse 12, Peter said, in none other is there salvation. But man still likes to think, I can save myself. I can do it on my own. But he can't. Jesus sent his apostles into the world with a simple message. And the gospel was preached, and the people asked, what shall we do? And the answer was, and the answer still is, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. And Philip preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, both men and women, Acts 8 and verse 12. In Acts chapter 16, we have the Philippian jailer. And he asked the question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now here's where people make this rocket science. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. It's funny how people like to stop at a specific clause in a paragraph to prove their point. And we are considered to be civilized and intelligent beings, and we cannot read a complete thought. And there are those out there that have this in mind, that you just believe and you are saved. But they kind of forget the other part. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord. That's how they were saved. Not by praying, but by the word of the Lord. And they said it to, not only to him, but all that was in his house. And he took them in the same hour that night, and he washed the stripes of the apostles. And they were baptized, all of his household. But they had to hear all the word. Billions of people out there today believe, but they're not hearing all the word. God made a plan that was simple. In the first century, and many here today, they heard the gospel of Christ. They put their trust in him. They were baptized for the remission of sins. And when they did that, they were saved. But today we have religion that has to complicate the whole thing. You have to go to some classes. You have to have letters of recommendation so that you can join their church. But I've never really, in the sense of salvation and belonging in the church, have ever found the word join in that context in the Bible. The book still reads the same, no matter who's reading it. When you look at the first public preaching, you read Acts chapter 2, you see the simplicity of the message. The folks understood it. They didn't get complicated. They didn't do a whole bunch of different things. Those that were assembled asked, what do we do? And they were told to repent and be baptized. And in verse 41, it tells what happened. That they gladly received his word, were baptized that same day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I didn't see joining there at all. I didn't see a membership fee. I was asked one time, how much does it cost to join the church here? It was really sad that someone would have to ask the question like that because they didn't know. When people desire salvation, what do? Many are told today only to believe. But it's not what the apostles taught. It's not what God had written down for us. The Lord saved those who believed and were baptized, added them to his church. It was simple. It wasn't rocket science. No one's jumping through hoops. Nobody's meeting a whole bunch of requirements. We don't have a checklist that you have to fill out before you can join the church. Yes, it's simple. It's as simple today as it was in the first century. Malachi 3:6, God said, I am the Lord, I change not. And he didn't, but man did. Man changed it. But it's simple. All these people in the first century, they were just Christians, members of the church that Jesus had built. Are you a part of that church? It really is simple. God wouldn't have made something so hard that you need a degree to obey. He's giving all mankind, regardless of their level of intelligence, the ability to understand his word. But it seems to me that the most learned can't figure that out. They can't figure it out. It's just too simple. It's got to be something harder than that. If you're not a Christian today, think about the simplicity of it all. There's no big requirements. You hear God's word and you believe that word. When you believe it to the point that this is what God wants me to do, then you repent of your sins. You want to make that change of life. You want to keep the past behind you. You want to confess Christ before men and be baptized for the remission of sins. It's simple. It's not hard. It's simple. And then together, we will help each other in our daily Christian walk so that we can obtain that hope of eternal life. God's not looking at you and looking for perfection. He's looking for effort. That's what he wants, is effort. Try. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you've allowed the things in life to get so complicated you don't know which ends up. We understand, I think all of us, at that point, we get there sometimes. But if it's causing us to have a poor relationship with God, then we need to rethink those things. And we want to give you an opportunity also this morning. And if there are some things you need to make right in a public way, if you need the prayers of the congregation, we want to be there for you. We want to pray for you. If you want to give your life to the Lord today in baptism, we also want to give you that opportunity now as together we stand and we sing.